sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blabbing around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boy, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing.
Bapa, baby, bapa, bapa, bapa.
Oh, yeah.
It is time to talk fishing on the Thursday morning show. We're waiting on Jeff Sundin. I think we did something wrong on our end. He's going to be joining us through Zoom, right?
Well, I see two participants.
Yes, John.
Okay.
It's you and I.
All right. Jeff Sundin, you're up there freezing somewhere north of Grand Rapids in Itasca County, right?
I wouldn't call it freezing because I'm inside. I got myself all set up to do the Zoom, and all of a sudden it just quit being Zoom and started being a phone call.
Well, that's all right. That's all right.
You know how us fishing guides are. We don't have technology.
Wrong. It's just an age thing, I think. So, Jeff.
On John's part, Jeff.
Very funny.
Gosh.
So, where are you?
I'm home. We were up at Lake of the Woods. We had planned to be there for 3 days, probably. And so I would be literally almost just driving home right now. But with that weather that came in yesterday, we knew we were never going to be able to fish anyway. So we made the quick run up there Monday afternoon and scoped out like one fishing spot just to see if we could figure out what to do the next day. And then we spent Tuesday all day on the ice and came back home Tuesday night just in time to see winter really arrive. Here it is.
Well, my brother had a big trip planned for Red Lake this week. I think it was like Tuesday or something. He was going to go up there. And then he got a call from his resort saying, stay home. It's going to be too dangerous with the wind. So what is the situation or the scenario there? How does that play out, Jeff? Are they looking for your personal safety, or is it just dangerous? Does ice move, et cetera?
Yeah, the ice does start to move. In fact, on Tuesday late in the afternoon, up on Lake of the Woods, the middle of January or so, there's going to be a lot of plowed roads up there. And they're in the process of starting to set that stuff up right now, but there's really no access for people that want to drive out in a pickup truck or what have you. But what happens, you get this big wind come in. Now, the shoreline area that we were fishing in, there was over a foot of ice. There's 13, 14 inches. It's like, that's plenty. You're good to go. But the problem is that further out in the lake, you don't have any control over the different ice depths and thicknesses. And so you get these big winds and big weather changes and expansion, contraction. All of a sudden, what looked like it was nice, smooth sailing, easy to move around, now the wind starts to push that stuff on you. And one of the bridges that they use to cross these, you'll get cracks in any number of places, and they have these long steel bridges that they put across the cracks, and then they kind of knock down the high spots and make that, they kind of force the ice to freeze up and heal in those particular small patches. And by the time we left the afternoon, we had one of those bridges had lifted up maybe 2 feet.
Wow.
So you can see in the past, I was on Red Lake one time on the north side of it with Johnny Petrowski. And someplace I could probably find this and put it up again later. One of those bridges was like 6 feet in the air when we went home at the end of the day. And I've got a nice picture But Johnny's standing out on the end of that bridge looking at like, okay, so what are we going to do next? And so combination of your brother's safety and not knowing how to get him back off of the ice, I think, plays into, you know, the rental operators have got to make a decision. And they're more sensitive to it now than they ever have been, because every year there's a story about how somebody goes out on the ice and everything looks like smooth sailing, and then one big wind comes up and they get separated from the shoreline. And you hear the big stories about rescue missions. In fact, on Saturday, I was down visiting my mom in the Twin Cities on my way home, kicking myself because as I drove past Mille Lacs on 169, there was these little concentrations of people fishing. Literally, any place that you could find to park off of 169, there were groups of people that had walked out and were all fishing. And I was thinking I should have stopped and taken some pictures and, you know, got them for a fishing report. And for some reason or other, I just didn't do it. And the next day, Sunday, there it was on Facebook, some photograph of one of these groups of ice fishermen that had gotten out on the lake, and the wind started to blow, and the thing separated from shore, and so they were stranded out there. And, you know, it's, in a lot of ways, it's no big deal because you're still standing on the ice, and it still supports your weight and all that kind of stuff. But it's more like a hassle. Like, now what are we going to do? We got to get somebody to come across with a boat and move everybody one by one to the other side. So safety is a concern, but just logistics is an even bigger problem.
Have we had any accidents out there?
I have. I'm one of the lucky ones. I was a friend of mine maybe 20 years ago. We were out fishing on Winnie, and this was mid-winter, you know, like well into the winter. There was multiple feet of ice, and we were trying to get from one side of, I think, the east side of the lake up into the Stony Point neighborhood, and there was an ice ridge that ran almost from the north shore clear on over to the east side of the lake. And we had been driving back and forth looking for a way across that thing. And we found a flat spot and got out and walked around and checked it. And looked like it would be a place that we could drive through. And I got to that crack, and the front end of my Suburban went down into the crack. And I opened the door, and I could see the water swirling around the tires and the wheel well. And luckily for me, the crack was not wide enough for the truck to be able to go into it. So I just got stuck there, and it was quite an experience getting out of there. I would have to take you out for a couple of beers and tell you the rest of the story after that. Mm-hmm. So, it's something that you don't want to mess around, and now we don't. You know, I don't drive my truck on the ice unless I'm following other people's tracks that I know for a fact they've already went through there, and everything is relatively safe because the little surprises just pop up out of nowhere. And you know, we've had some other close calls that have reinforced my thinking about that, to, you know, kind of play it safe and take the lightest possible vehicle. And that's right now, that's what's going on in most areas anyhow. People are using snowmobiles and ATVs and getting around pretty well.
Is anybody catching any fish?
You know what? The fishing up there, I know around in locally Bemidji area, south of Grand Rapids, northeast of Grand Rapids, the fishing has been moderately good. I wouldn't say fabulous. Lake of the Woods, if you just want to catch numbers of fish, I'm guessing it wouldn't be any big deal to come back home and say that you caught 100 walleyes. Now, anytime you hear that story coming from Lake of the Woods, if it's big numbers like that, you have to make an assumption that maybe two-thirds of those fish were really small ones. So you're busy, you're catching fish all day long, and then every once in a while, one will come along that's a better one that you'll say, okay, this is a good one, I'll keep this. You might catch 100 fish and come home with, you know, four walleyes that represent really what you think are good eating size walleyes. But the trip along the way is kind of fun. You know, you've got something to do all the time. I didn't.
So, Jeff, you got a, what kind of a meal will you have for Christmas Eve? Will it be fish?
No, we're not having fish. I know we've got spaghetti on the menu for one night and some sort of stepped-up hydraulic gluten-free special dinner the next night.
And it's gonna yum!
It's
going to be really small. Well, I know it's gluten-free and I know it's something really special and I just don't know what it is exactly. So unless you want me to go get Susan and ask her, I can report back on what we had last week.
Wow, well, you sound enthused about a gluten-free Christmas dinner.
You know what? There's a good reason that we have that. And every once in a while, we'll have something. It may sound a little bit boring once in a while, but most of the time it actually works out really well. There's a lot of creative ways that you can make those meals, and we've enjoyed quite a few of them. So we got one on the schedule here. Not today, but tomorrow.
All right. Well, it's good to hear your voice. Glad to hear you're safe. And we'll check in next week and see how many fish you got.
Okie doke. Sounds good.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.